An American travel writer based in Prague, freelance journalist, and the co-founder of the first English bookstore in Prague. That is, in a nutshell, Mr. Mark Baker, whom I have questioned for the following interview. My first question is, when you first came to the Czech Republic, or back then it was Czechoslovakia,
right,
in 1991, what qualities did you appreciate about the people here?
About the people?
About Czech
people.
Well,
I actually came to Czechoslovakia in the 1980s. I was working as a journalist in Vienna, and I moved to Prague in 1991 to live here, you know. So what did I appreciate about the qualities of the people? Well, you have to remember it was very soon after 1989, and there was a lot of optimism about the changes, about all the good things that were going to come to the country. And I found people to be very optimistic about the future and welcoming to people coming into their country.
Yeah, so they were welcoming to all foreigners, was that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, maybe particularly Americans, I don't know. But, I mean, people were very generally, you know. I wrote in one of the books that there was, of course, this anti-immigrant party, Sladek, you know, that was going on at the time. And that was terrible, but it was targeting mostly black foreigners or Asian foreigners, you know, white guys like me, you know, could even look like a Czech in a way, you know, so it's like, but yes, they were really welcoming, positive.
And how are the Czech people different from Americans from your point of view? What personal qualities are different?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know how much of it has to do with socialization of what happened in the 40 years of communism or even before that. So it's hard for me to figure out what's like authentically Czech qualities versus these qualities that were kind of introduced from 1948 to 1989, you know, and people lived by. But generally people have much more respect for the office workers, like the ožedníky, you know, like I'm always amazed when people are so well behaved in front of these people, you know, or when they go to the doctors and everybody lines up in the hallway somehow, you know, it seems to me a very funny way to do it in a sense. It's a really good question. I never even thought about that, actually, how they're different from Americans. Well, there are a lot of similarities, you know, I think, and over the years we see that cultures become much closer, I think, somehow, you know, because of the internet perhaps, you know, and people are more familiar with American culture, and Americans are more familiar with European culture, maybe not necessarily Czech culture per se. I just think they're more mannered. The dogs behave better in this country than they do in the United States. The kids are better disciplined, I think, you know, somehow. There's more, like, structure in the society, I think.
And maybe how did the society change from, like, what it was back then and what it is now here in the Czech Republic?
Oh, it's impossible to describe all the ways that it's changed.
From your point of view, like, main points, maybe?
Particularly younger people are much more open to new ideas. There's a lot more things happening in the street, you know, all these festivals and shops and that. I think people are more outwardly focused because there's a possibility to travel abroad and to study abroad. So people orient themselves to having an international career. In the past, I don't think anybody was thinking about, you know, an international, truly international career. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, people who are in higher education, you know, that kind of thing. Yes, I think people are just simply more open.
Okay, thank you. You also wrote a book about the Velvet Revolution.
Yes.
Čas proměn.
Yes.
Or the Time of Changes.
Yes, I did.
What was your inspiration for this book? I read that it was your blog originally,
yes,
all those stories you have there. But
exactly.
If there was something like specific that gave you that idea to put it all in the book?
Well, I was writing a lot of it on the blog, you know. So the idea to write a book was actually from the publisher, from Albatross. An editor at Albatross saw my blog, particularly saw an article that I wrote about the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution, and I was trying to think about the year 1989 in a different way. and I wrote about it, and he said that he never heard some of the things. He's a historian. He said he never heard some of the things that I was saying. So he said, well, why don't you write it down and write it into a book? And you could do a collection of stories about 1989, before and after, and we'll call it Time of Transformation. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's the story of the book.
So who is the book targeted at? Is it Czech people or?
Oh, definitely Czech definitely people, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
It's only in Czech,
it's
right?
Only in Czech, yeah. I never published it in English, you know.
But do you maybe plan to?
I would like to. I have the manuscript in English,
oh,
you know.
That's nice.
So that would be good. But after I published the book, lots of interesting things happened to me, you know, somehow. In the book, which I write about in the pre-1989 mm-hmm. time, when I was traveling as a journalist here, I wrote that I was obviously being spied on by the STB,
yeah.
But that I did not personally have a surveillance file.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote that in my book, because that's what I believed. I even asked to see my file, and they said, you don't have one. And then a reader read my book, and I said, very unusual that you wouldn't have a file, and he went looking for it, and he found it. So I have this huge file that I have to,
oh, gosh.
And I've taken a year now to translate it, to think about it, to write about it, and then I'm going to introduce the file into the new Chess-Promen when I mm-hmm. republish it.
Oh, okay. That's, you know? That's really interesting to like find out something big as this.
It's huge. I didn't know it for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's horrible.
The Czechoslovak STB was actually planning to make me an agent, Czechoslovak mm-hmm. agent. I mean, they wanted to. That was the plan. I didn't know anything about it, and I was never an agent for
yeah,
any country. But
I understand.
But it was very surprising for me to see that they had such big plans for me.
Yeah. Well, luckily, this part of the this is just behind us.
This
so
part of the history. It all ended in 1989. So
yeah.
You know, who knows what would have happened after that?
Yeah. And as I said, you also write a lot of guidebooks.
Yes.
So, maybe if you have traveled to this many countries, which one was your favorite?
Wow. You know, the favorite country I have to write about is Romania.
Romania.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's a little bit wilder, let's say, than the Czech Republic somehow, like spirit, in terms of spirit, and also the development has been a little mm-hmm. bit slower. So it's slightly less, let's say, westernized. So it means that there's still some very unusual things to see there, and the country itself is beautiful. I mean, you know, the mountains in Transylvania,
yeah.
And just the area, and I like the people. So yeah, it's a strange place, and that's why I like it. You know, it's still strange.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to explore, I guess.
There's a lot to explore. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
And were you always this interested in traveling, like a travel enthusiast?
No.
No.
No, not at all. I was a journalist. I was a political journalist and
mm-hmm.
an economic journalist for, I don't know, 25 years or something like that. But I got tired of journalism. You probably will too someday, you know. So so I tried to look around for something that I could do, that I could make some money, that I could continue to write. And travel writing is what I decided to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 15 years ago.
Okay, but maybe it was in you, like, even before, because you know, you moved from U.S. to...
Oh yeah,
Europe,
right. Oh,
initially.
Yes, oh, yeah, okay. The idea of trying to learn about different cultures, yeah, that's always been interesting,
mm-hmm.
you know, ever since I was, you know,
okay.
ever since I can remember.
And are you working on any guidebook right now, or any other big project?
I just finished Slovenia and
mm-hmm.
Romania, and then this year I will probably redo the guide to Czech Republic,
mm-hmm.
Czechia,
so
this
like
summer.
Update it? Or?
Update it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what's going to happen this summer. Although, when you work as a freelancer,
mm-hmm.
which I do, you really never know what's going to come, because you just check your email and you get a different place, you know, to go somehow. So.
Yeah. Okay, and lastly, I have a few questions.
Sure.
You said that today students have many opportunities to go study abroad.
Right.
Which I agree with. And What would you say are some of the main benefits this could bring or provide to someone?
Well, I mean, I think the benefits are just like, you know, trillions of benefits, you know, many, many benefits. I think what it does do is that it opens up the culture to ideas from other cultures, and mm-hmm. then you bring the cultures back, you bring the ideas back from wherever you're going to study from, you know. You know, you might also meet your life partner in one of these things, and you end up having a kind of, I think if you want to talk about building a European project, you know, like the greater European project, mm-hmm. I think you can't do any better than allowing students to study at each other's universities, because you suddenly, within a generation, you build European culture, more European culture, I think.
Okay, and very last question is, what would you advise maybe students who are here, specifically yes. in Prague, and they are maybe considering moving here or staying here? I mean, international students
right.
who are here for example, Erasmus or something.
Right.
And they are considering like staying here and living here. What would you advise them, or what would your suggestion be?
Well, they're just basic ones, you know. Like, first one, you have to learn Czech, you know. I mean, it's mm-hmm. like you won't survive very long without it, you know, somehow. At least have some kind of functional knowledge of the language. Second one would be to buy property as soon as you can.
Okay.
Otherwise, you may not afford it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, for many years, I rented my apartments in Prague. I never thought that there would be some kind of real estate boom. And then about 15 years ago, I thought to myself, I should actually buy something, because if I wait too long, I will never be able to afford it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I bought an apartment in 2008. So, mm-hmm. you know, that was probably a good thing to do. Depends. It very much depends on how long you're planning to stay, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay. And how long did it take you to learn Czech?
To learn Czech? Well, it's still not perfect. 30 years, maybe, something like that.
Mm-hmm. But you are able to, like, communicate
without
problems.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it takes an English speaker about 1 to 2 years to learn Czech,
yeah.
To be functional, basically, mm-hmm. you know.
Thank you so much.